Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. If you're listening via our new Radio Plus iPhone app, did you know you can get detailed information about a stock by simply touching its symbol on the crawling stock ticker? If you don't have the Radio Plus iPhone app yet, you'll want to download it. It's free via the iTunes App Store.
Peter Micek of Jefferies & Company. Peter, good morning.
Good morning.
So your target for Apple is now 900.
Correct.
And when do
We think we're going to hit that in the next 12 months, and we think we've got some big product launches that are help us get there. We think the iPhone 5 launch early this fall, combined with the iPad mini and then an ITV within the next 6 months, are going to propel the stock earnings significantly forward.
Tell us about the iPad mini, because your latest report here says it's gone into production.
So we think it's a 7.85-inch iPad. We think it's non-retina display. It'll be priced probably $249 to $299. And based on our work, we think that it's going to sell pretty well in the price-conscious markets and as well in emerging markets. So we would expect China, for example, to be a big market for it, especially at that price point.
Well, everybody is kind of Apple crazy and generally, and iPad in particular. What about the Apple 5 phone? Our colleague Dave Wilson was on my show, Peter, the Hayes Advantage, last week, saying that he's still got his his iPhone 3. He's been waiting for the 5 for the upgrade.
Yeah, I mean, he's not alone. We think there's 30 million Apple iPhone subscribers are going to upgrade in Q4 alone. Globally, but more importantly, there's 170 million smartphone subscribers coming off of contract in Q4, and just over 400 million next year. So there's a big fertile upgrade ground here, and we think the phone is going to be pretty spectacular, and we think the sales are going to be like nothing we've seen before.
Okay, spectacular. Tell me, I've still got an iPhone 3, and I dragged my feet getting my first smartphone, and I'm always going to wait for a better price or something that really makes it worth my while. Spectacular. Is it going to make me, Kathleen Hayes, buy it? And why?
I think so. It's a 4-inch screen. It's 25% thinner. It's approximately 10 times faster than an iPhone 4, 4S. So it'll be something in the magnitude of, 20 to 50 times faster than your 3, 3GS. And very importantly, we think it'll also have some great picture quality enhancements. And overall, we think it'll just be a much, much crisper experience. So everything that you'll do on it will be very, very smooth, will flow very easily. And at some point in the very near future, we think you'll be able to watch live television on it.
Wow.
Is that what Apple TV is going to look like?
We think ITV, when Apple does officially unveil it, is really not about driving profits from Apple selling a living room product, but rather about the ecosystem. So it's really about locking homes and people into the Apple ecosystem, getting you to buy their phones, their tablets. And that's really what it's about. And that movement of live TV from the living room to your phone, to your tablet, and back and forth. Really, that's critical to us.
Give us some more intelligence on this. In your latest report, you're looking at data out of Sharp and others. You're looking at more detail on ITV, how it's going to work. It's in full production. What it's going to mean for Apple?
Well, we track around 4,000 Asian component suppliers on a monthly basis. And what we do is we look for significant movements in certain component makers, and then we try and figure out if there's something odd to try and explain why those movements would occur. And so we think ITV is in production simply because every other TV manufacturer is cutting production. Every other TV component maker is cutting production. So clearly somebody is entering the market, some going to be building several million units. And then when we look at iOS code and patent filings, we uncover that Apple has got some pretty big designs on the living room. And so we think it'll be a gesture-based control and voice control TV. So think of as you would touch your iPhone or your iPad, you basically touch the air in front of you and it would know that you're
touching
that air.
Touch the air in front of me?
Yes.
Wow. Wow. So who is the Apple TV going to get? You just talked about the ecosystem, right? So if I have my iPhone and my iPad, I can understand why I'm the kind of person that's going to reach out and touch the air for Apple TV. But what about people who have like regular TV, they're still using cable or something? Does Apple intend to entice them too?
Yeah, we think that that's really where the Apple TV set-top box is going to go in and allow you to extend some functionality to existing televisions. But if you really want that, wow, gee whiz, this is like Star Trek, they need to buy the ITV. And so the extension of the living room, we think, is going to happen over a very long period of time. This is not something that's going to happen overnight. And then that ecosystem buy-in or lock-in, we think, will start as consumers start to buy those Apple TV set-top boxes and then the ITV as well.
And what's your timetable for that, Peter?
Well, we think that we're going to get an ITV launch either in Q4 of this year or early next year. And then we would expect enhancements to the Apple TV set-top box no later than January or February of next year.
Price points?
The ITV, we think, will be around $1,500, and the Apple TV set-top box is only $100.
So $1,500, though, for a lot of people is still a reasonable investment.
It is. And the average age of a television in America now is around 7 years. So
really?
What you're really looking, yeah,
no
you're
kidding.
Really looking.
I thought people were buying up new flat panels like crazy up until maybe this year.
No, the average age of a television in the average American household is around 7 years, and that's about the upgrade cycle. We think that might shorten a little bit, maybe by a year or two. But again, we think that this is not a wow, geez, bang, earnings move right away for Apple. What it is really, it's showcasing innovation and getting that ecosystem. And once you have an ITV or you have the new Apple TV set-top box enhanced version in your home, everybody's going to have an iPhone in the home. Everyone's going to have an iPad.
Wow. So even if I'm not an Apple person, I'm going to say I'm going to plunk down $1,500 for this.
I think when the average consumer sees this device, sees how easy it is to manipulate your content, to play all your apps on your television, to effectively take Microsoft Kinect, type gaming functionality across all your devices, I think that's going to wow a lot of consumers.
Well, I hope Tom's listening. He's got a Dumont TV with rabbit ears on it. He's maybe learning something.
Maybe here. He'll step up. Yeah. He's a slow TV adapter.
Do the stores continue to roll right along and be as successful as ever?
Yeah, the stores have had a bit of a hiccup here recently. The new head of retail that came out of Dixon's, which is a large electronics goods retailer in the UK and Europe, he came in and he made a mistake. He made some changes to staffing programs and staffing levels, and unfortunately he had to admit his error and he's had to reverse it. And so they're having a bit of a hiccup on staffing. In terms of sales, they still blow the socks off of almost every retailer on the planet in terms of sales per square foot, and we think they're going to continue to expand both domestically and specifically in China.
Peter Micek, Jefferies & Company. We're talking about Apple, which we have another new high today, 653.93, up 583. That's about 1%. And Peter, your target for Apple is 900, you said, in the next 12 months.
Correct. And we think the momentum is probably going to be pretty good around the iPhone 5 launch, which we expect on September 12th.
What about this dispute with Samsung? There's the Samsung CEO is supposedly going to speak with Apple today about the big patent lawsuit, a smartphone patent dispute. And this is to occur. The judge wants them to try and settle it before the jury starts deliberating. Is there any risk that they don't settle, that somehow the judge has to decide that shipments of the new iPhone 5 don't go out or something? Is this the kind of thing? You're talking about momentum. You got this $900 price target within the next year. Could we see a stumble between now and then if this thing doesn't get settled?
Actually, this is Apple is the antagonist on this one. So they would not be the ones facing an injunction. It would be Samsung. However, the ripples would be that potentially they could have a ripple backlash lawsuits against them. We think that's why Motorola Mobility, for example, filed that at some point in the future potentially could delay it. But the risk really here is that Apple doesn't want other people copying their designs, and they laid out a pretty compelling case that at least in some ways Samsung has copied them.
On the smartphone, but what about the sense that Samsung says that Apple, ripped off the tablet in somewhere along the line?
Yeah, they're trying to say that the prior art on the tablet was some other devices manufactured by other electronics companies. And then Apple is obviously countered by saying, well, the prior art's invalidated by things like the Newton, for example. And so it's a bit of a, back and forth. But our initial takes, at least when we've spoken to patent attorneys, is that Apple's got a pretty good case here of winning.
Well, you know, it didn't come out, it wasn't talked about that much when he was alive, but Steve Jobs was pretty litigious.
He did not take this kindly. When Android originally was conceived, it was actually conceived to compete with Research in Motion. It was far more text, email, messaging based. And when the iPhone launched, Android pivoted completely and changed its design, changed its user interface. And if you look at Samsung's phones and product roadmap prior to the iPhone and the iPad, it was totally different. And when the iPhone and the iPad came out, they completely altered their roadmap. And I think that the argument here is that there's no issue with altering your roadmap. The issue is how you do that and whether you copy the products too closely.
Speaking of Samsung's phone, the Galaxy 3 seems to be doing pretty well. Is it a threat to the iPhone? There's a lot of this now hang on this suit.
It has come down to two players in the smartphone market, Samsung and Apple. Samsung is Apple's biggest threat, biggest competitor, also their biggest partner. The Galaxy S3, we think, is a great phone, great device. We've used it a lot. We think it's a wonderful alternative. The issue is that it has a lot of limitations. We think the Android ecosystem isn't as strong. We think the Android operating system is inferior. And the biggest challenge is that after using the Galaxy S3 or any Android device for a few months, you'll actually find that it slows down, and there's some flaws in the operating system that cause that to happen versus Apple.
Do Research in Motion and Nokia just sort of wither away?
It's quite possible that it happens much worse than wither away. It's possible that they don't exist at some point in the near future.
What about people who don't want to be part of the Apple universe, who don't want to be tethered to Apple apps and iTunes? How big is that segment of the market?
We think it's somewhere between half and two-thirds of the global market. So smartphones globally, we think the global market's somewhere around 3 billion users. So somewhere around 1.5 billion to call it 2 billion users probably don't want to be tethered to Apple or don't want to afford it or can't afford it. We think the addressable market for Apple is about 1 billion people globally.
And you know, Peter, when Kathleen said that, I couldn't help but think of the Apple Big Brother commercial. From the Super Bowl.
From the 1980s.
Yes, yeah. Now the reverse of that, right? Apple's become the big brother.
Yes and no. It's interesting. Everyone says Apple's a closed ecosystem. It does all these things. And yet, it's not really that closed. If you're a developer, you can submit your app. You can access all this neat stuff off of your web browser. You don't necessarily need to be tied to Apple. That's a bit of an overplaying of the actual quality ecosystem. No, competitors need to overplay whatever they can. So it's not 100% true. It is a little more tightly integrated than other ecosystems, but you get advantages. You don't have to be a tech gearhead to make your phone or your tablet work really well.
So obviously, if Apple has a third of the universe of people who are going to buy these kinds of products, that still leaves the door open for your price target of $900 a share and beyond. Within that universe, though, people who can't afford it and or just want to be able to access the internet, for example, more directly on their phones and not go through apps like that, how do you handicap those competitors? Who's the best bet in there?
The best bet is Samsung, and interestingly, we think Google increasingly via Motorola is going to directly compete in that market. But Samsung is really the best positioned hardware maker outside of Apple to accomplish what you described.
So you'd buy their shares as well?
We don't rank Samsung shares, but we do believe that they really are one of the top consumer electronics players in the world, probably number one or number two.
Peter Micek, Jefferies & Company. Thank you, Peter. Again, new high for Apple.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012.